And we're also going to be reading from Genesis chapter 4. The third chapter of 1 John tells the story of Cain and Abel as an example of what love is not. And so we're going to listen to that story first from Genesis chapter 4. And then we'll be reading from 1 John chapter 3. So in the Pew Bible, if you want to follow along, it's on page 4. I had to double check that a couple of times. You don't usually have to write that page 4. It's usually longer than that in the bulletin. Page 4, and then 1 John on page 1184 in your Pew Bibles. And I invite you to listen for the Word of God. Now, the man Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have produced a man with the help of the Lord." Next, she bore his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you so angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." And Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out to the field." And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. From 1 John chapter 3, 11 to 24. "For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who was from the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be astonished, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. All who hate a brother or sister are murderers, and you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us." This is the word of the Lord. I'm struck by that phrase in there that really hits me the most. I don't know what grabs you in there. There's a lot of words. But where in the middle, in verse 18, it says, "Let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action." So I was thinking about that this week. I thought of many different instances during the week where I think I experienced the love that this scripture is talking about. Now, it's kind of repetitive. I'm finding 1 John really hard to preach on because each week it basically says, love your brother or sister, love your neighbor as yourself. And I keep trying to find a creative way to say that to you each week. This week it's contrasted with Cain, who kills his brother. Kind of, there's some big absences in the story, but Cain ends up killing his brother probably out of jealousy. or a lack of love, which leads him to murder. Whereas Jesus, we are told by the author, gives his own life as an expression of love. Hate takes life. Love gives life. Hate leads to death. Love leads to eternal or abundant life, not just in the future, but here and now. Thinking about all that this week, I was struck by several different things that happened. One was a school board story, and we already shared that. I didn't know that was going to come up, but I was struck that here is this other person who is of the Jewish tradition who's texting and thanking me for our prayers. I really went on behalf of all of us, not for me. And saying, during the meeting, we should get more pastors and rabbis together to be visible and pray for our city, to encourage people to pray. And then she continued, I think she was still listening during the meeting, but she continued saying something her rabbi had said that really struck me, that resonates, I think, with the scripture, that we are in a culture of protest and great fear. But what we need is a problem-solving culture. I heard that as saying, let us love not in word and speech, but in truth and action. I went to visit Cecilia Jackson Friday and to take her a birthday present and to deliver a Valentine's gift that Elaine had given for me to go and take to her. And some of you know Cecilia, some of you don't know her so well. I've known her for a very long time because she was the coffee maker at Fruitvale Church. She was always there cooking, always doing the food. One year, she did the whole Thanksgiving dinner, which was crazy, but she did it all herself. She did admit that in her 80s, that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do, but she still did it. And she is in chronic pain. She's pretty tough. She'd never tell you what's going on, but she's in chronic pain in large part because of a back surgery she had, and then because she was mugged in her apartment building and pushed down to the ground. And so we don't see her a lot because she's just in chronic pain. So I went to see her, and I should go more often. And when I went to see her to try to bring her joy and to reflect what's going on in our community, she pointed to the birthday hat that we brought. If you came to her impromptu 90th birthday party last year, we took it to her house. She has a little hat and the birthday sign still up in her house. And as we were there, and I said, I got to go. I got here later than I thought. I got to hit the road. She said, well, let me just come with you. So she got up out of bed and she walked with me all the way downstairs. And she made a point, I think, of talking loudly so that people would open their doors in the hallways so that she could introduce me to them. This is my pastor. My church comes to visit me. And she came with me because she said I needed to meet the new administrator so that the new administrator would know that I'm the pastor and that I can park illegally in the front spot. I'm grateful for that. But I was really struck because here is a woman in chronic pain, and I wasn't struck because she's showing everybody how great I am, but struck by her great pride in her church and in her people and in the way in which she serves. She is the elder leader of all the old folks that live in this home. She is in charge. She'll tell you that. So will the administrators. And I'm struck because it really is her living where she lives, loving, not in word and speech, but in truth and action. I was struck this week because I've been talking with Christina, and she's not here this morning, but she's been checking in with me about lots of different things, and Christina's life has kind of fallen apart right now. She's having trouble in her family. Her son is in jail. She's raising Breeze, as we know, who is her granddaughter. In the midst of all the trouble that she is facing, she has been texting me every day saying, I really need to get the ESL information down because I'm trying to get people that need help and need advocacy that don't speak English to come to the ESL classes. It would be so good for them, and maybe they'll meet Jesus along the way. And in the midst of all that, then she tells me that yesterday she takes the time to go out to Turlock to meet the half-brother of Breeze. So these are children who've been abandoned by their parents, who are drug users, and to meet this teenager who lives in a shelter. She went out to meet him, just to love on him. And I'm struck by that, thinking of the scripture. Let us love not in word and speech, but in truth and action. I was struck also by going to a lunch this week that I was invited to, and I was very, very proud to be there as the only gringo. Invited in large part because of you and what we do with Primera Iglesia. I was invited to the Hispanic Caucus, which is a targeted group of Spanish-speaking pastors and clergy or lay leaders. And the Presbyterian head honcho person was out who resources Spanish-speaking ministries for the whole nation. And I was invited. I laughed because it was catered by Chipotle. And I said, that's how this works, as I walked in. But then I was humbled as I was sitting at the table, and I didn't want to sit at the table. They made me sit in the middle, and I thought, no, I am not. No, I'm the gringo. And as I tried my hardest to keep up with the Spanish, I was blessed to hear Pablo, who's the pastor of Primera, where we work and partner with, introduce me saying, this is Monty. He and his church give me hope. They give our people hope. And you know why? Because we do not love only in word and speech, but in truth and action, by showing up. And during that meeting, I heard each person share about their community and the need that they face, which is that their people need to believe that they are of value. Just like that reading that Gary gave us from Dr. Foster, all of the people in all of the Spanish-speaking churches, their leaders say they need to know that they are important, that they are loved, that they don't need to be afraid. And then it came to me, and I really said, no, I shouldn't share, but they wanted me to share. And so I said, you know, your churches are not that different than ours, because my people too, they need to know that they are important, that they are loved, and to not be afraid, that what they do matters. I was also struck because of more text messages. I found ministry has changed. It's a lot about text messages these days. And I'm an embarrassed Ben. He's right over here, but Ben is an ever-faithful person, as you all know, and I get these great text messages from Ben all the time, and what's great about them is he is always thinking about stuff. You probably know that about Ben. He's always working. I can count on Ben to text me a couple days in the week about the sermon. He doesn't know that I'm always like, wait, what was the sermon? What were we doing? And I'm struck because Ben always shares a story. It's about how he met someone in Oakland, a woman at a cafe or somebody at the bus stop or somebody he was walking the street with. And he shares about how he reached out to them. And he doesn't do this to like toot his own horn. And I'm embarrassing him probably by telling this. But what it said to me is, here is another example of a shining light in my world where someone is loving Jesus, not just in word and speech, but in truth and action. And you preach to me just by your lives. You tell me all the time by how you live, by how you struggle to live, by your faithfulness and your failures, you remind me all the time to love not just in word and speech, but in truth and action. That's what the scripture is all about. And the author says that if you live and abide in Jesus, you will be changed, and you will love that way. Now, this might be a little trite, but I got to share with you some good news in my life. And it has to do with traffic, because that's usually what I talk about. But I thought of you. Last night, I came in to prep things and get things ready. And I was leaving, and it was cold. I didn't turn on the heat, and I was hungry. So I ran down to Trader Joe's. I bought a frozen dinner. And I was blessed by Robin, who reached out and said hello to me right there. And I came back and I jumped in my car and I was hurrying home because, man, did I want that frozen pizza, because I was frozen. And I was peeling out down the street and I got to the light right underneath the BART station. If you were here a couple weeks ago, I preached on this light. And it was green. as I was rolling past the school, and it turned yellow as I went under the BART, and then I slowly stopped. And I didn't run it. I didn't stress out. And in large part because I thought of you. Road rage. But why I bring that up is for me, that's really where I lose control. And I do what I don't want to do. And knowing that I am in community with you and that we abide together and that we abide in Christ as Christ abides in us. I remembered Ben's text. I remembered Christina and our conversations this week. I remembered Gary and Jody at the meeting. I remembered Cecilia and her pride. I remembered Pablo's words at that meeting. I remembered many of you. And as I stopped, this might sound corny, but as I stopped instead of running the light, I thought, let us love, not in word and speech, but in truth and action. Amen.